Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Thank you, Jesus, that you've never failed us. Oh, Father, we thank you that as you have moved mountains in our lives, we know that you will continue to move them. Father, we know that when we put our confidence in you, Father, that your promises are true. Father, your promises stand. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We worship you tonight and thank you. We thank you, Father. Father, you've never let us down and you never will let us down. And I thank you, Father, that you are faithful. Glory, glory, glory. We worship you, Father. We praise your holy name. Thank you, Father. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for this opportunity to spend time in your word as a body of believers. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you together as a corporate body of believers. We thank you for the opportunity to pray for one another and lift one another up and rejoice with one another. We thank you, Father. Father, I thank you as I minister your word tonight that you use me to speak life to your people. Father, that when we leave this place tonight, we will not leave the way we came in. But Father, we'll leave with more encouragement. We'll leave with more hope. We'll leave knowing that you are a faithful God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I remember one day when Peter was sharing about that song, and he said, you know, a lot of people hear that and they think, you know, you've never failed me yet, but you're going to. And we know that's not what that means. It means he's never failed us and he never will fail us. Haven't failed us as today. He's not going to fail us tomorrow. Amen. Because he's faithful. So I've been talking about having an intimate relationship with God. And I've been talking about knowing him. Knowing him. That coming into that place with him that we really truly know him. I believe that the Holy Spirit is calling the church. He's calling the church. He's wooing the church again to come out of just the mechanics of Christianity. I've been really praying and seeking God about where the church is, as the body of Christ in general, the body of Christ here at New Life Christian Center, me in my own personal life, where are we? And examining myself and examining my walk with God and just looking at what's going on in the body of Christ, I see a whole lot of mechanics of faith. We've gotten a whole lot of the word, and we know step one, step two, step three. We know, you know, confess the word and all those type of things. And I believe it's gotten to be, we've gotten to a place that it's just kind of a mechanical thing that we do, and it's not built on relationship anymore. It's being built on what we've heard preached, which, of course, is the word. But and I'm not doing away with faith by any stretch of the imagination, but what I'm saying is, what are we doing? What is the body of Christ doing? Where are we? What is our individual relationship with the Lord? We don't forget about those things we've learned because they're good and they're true and they're right. But they're not good and true and right without him and that relationship with him and that knowing him. So that's what I'm talking about. I want the church, I want myself, I want anybody that might fall in this category to let's quit going through the motions. And let's move to that level of the intimacy. You know, when you've been married for a long time, sometimes you just go through the motions. But when you're first dating, it's not motions. Who was it that said something the other day about you hang up first? No, you hang up first. Peter said that. Okay. Yeah. So, and that's how it was. No, you hang up first. But now it's like, okay, even if we do have time in prayer, it's like, okay, I got to do my 15 minutes or my 30 minutes or have my morning devotional or my evening devotional because I got to check that off my list. Uh-uh. That's like, you know, having that relationship with your spouse and saying, well, okay, check. Got that done. And move on. No, we can't operate that way. We've got to operate in that intimate relationship. So last week I read Psalm 42, 1 through 2 in the Amplified. I'm going to go through this kind of fast. I stuck my scriptures up there. Whole sheet. So I don't know how far we're going to get tonight, but we'll see. I read Psalm 42, 1 through 2 in the Amplified. It said, "As the heart pants and longs for the water brooks, so I pant and long for you, O God. My inner self thirsts for God." Do you hear the cry of the psalmist? Do you hear what he's saying? I'm longing for you. I'm thirsting for you, God. My innermost self is crying out to you for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? When am I going to see you, God? I want to see you. I want to be in your presence. I want to hear your voice. I want to feel you. I want to feel your presence. Relationship isn't all about feelings and feel-good stuff, you know. But you know what? It is sure nice. It is sure nice when you get in that place, like when you're in worship, and you can just feel the presence of God. And you don't want to leave that spot. You just want to stay there. Or when you're having your prayer time, or maybe you're reading something and it just goes off on the inside of you and you're just like, oh, you know, you just, it's just like kiss from heaven. And you just want to stay there. And the psalmist is saying, I'm just longing for you, God. I'm longing to be in your presence. I'm longing to hear your voice. And I feel like that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. You know, it said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it talks about how the Spirit brooded over the earth. I think the Holy Spirit is brooding over the body of Christ. And he's drawing the body of Christ to a different place, to where we're not, like I said, operating in the mechanics, but that we're operating out of relationship. Last week I read 2 Peter 1:3, which is a scripture that we should have all memorized by now, reading it in the Amplified. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited for life and godliness. And it is through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to. Now, I went over that a whole lot last week about how he's called us by his glory, his excellence and glory. He's called us to his excellence and glory. But it's through that full personal knowledge of him. It's by knowing him. He's called us to that glory and excellence and virtue. So this week, I want to start going over some of the benefits of knowing God, some of the benefits of having intimacy with God. Last week, I said you'd have to be a fool if you knew the benefits of knowing God, of having intimacy with God, and you chose not to. You just have to be a nut to not want to do that. So we're going to go over some of those so I can make sure you know them. And then if you choose not to, then we can just say, you're a fool. Doesn't sound very nice, but shoe fits. Intimacy with God brings boldness. Intimacy with God brings boldness. Look at 1 Kings 17, 1 through 3. 1 Kings 17, 1 through 3. I love Elijah. He's one of the coolest guys in the Bible. Elijah and David, I think David is really cool. I mean, anybody that chopped the head off of a giant and carried it around and put in his tent. I mean, think about that. Well, that is one cool kid right there. I'm going to go into all that. That's not even in my sermon. All right. But, I mean, God, use your imagination. I mean, you know, his head was huge. And David's carrying that bad boy around. I mean, anyway. 1 Kings 17, 1 through 3. We're going to go on. But David had a relationship with God. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." I want you to think about that. He goes to Ahab, and he challenges him. And he tells him, you know what? It's not going to rain for 3 years until I say it's going to rain. I mean, what type of boldness does that have to take for somebody to do that when Ahab can look at you and have you slaughtered any second that he wants to? And I think it's funny that Peter talked about Elijah and his duel with the all the prophets of Baal last week. And you know, isn't it funny how the Holy Spirit works? And all of a sudden you'll be listening to something and you're like, man, that's just what I was saying. That's just what I got in my, wow, that is so cool. I mean, Peter didn't know I was going to talk about him. I certainly didn't know he was going to talk about him. But Elijah comes up and he says, as the Lord lives before whom I stand. He's saying, this is the way it's going to be. It's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. And how could he have that boldness? How could anybody have that type of boldness to go before such a wicked king and make this declaration? And when you look at what he said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Before whom I stand. Elijah knew God. He talked to God. He had an intimate relationship with God. That word before, it doesn't just mean I'm not kind of standing before you. Okay? I looked it up. Of course I did. And it means the face as the part that turns. I'm standing in God's face. The part that turns, the part he looks with. It's translated countenance, inquire, face, favor, forefront, from, front, him, in, mouth, presence. That's how that word's translated in the King James Version. Before, I'm in God's face. As the Lord of God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. That word stand means to abide in. It means to continue, to dwell, to establish, to place, to be present, to remain, to stand fast, stand firm, stand still, stand up, to stay and to tarry. He's saying, as the Lord God who lives, the one who I am in his face, the one who I'm standing before on a constant basis, continually, I'm tarrying before him, I'm standing before him, I'm in his presence. As he lives, it's not going to rain for 3 years, according to my word. Why? Because he'd been in the presence of God. He didn't just come up, you know, Elijah didn't just have a little, he didn't just pray over his food and call it a prayer time. He didn't just step in, you know, do his 30 minutes in the morning and go on out. He stayed in God's face. And because he stayed in God's face, he had the boldness and the assurance that what he had declared was going to happen was going to happen. He didn't just make that up one day because he was mad at Ahab and thought he was a, you know, ungodly heathen Baal worshiper, which he was. He didn't just visit God occasionally. He stood before his face and he tarried before God. You could say he was in God's face. He was in God's face. If we want to have boldness and confidence in what we're doing and what we're saying and in our walk, we got to stay in God's face. We got to spend that time with him, inquiring of him on a regular basis. This was Elijah's way of life. He didn't get that boldness by hanging out at the gate with the elders or whoever. He got that boldness by hanging out with God and spending time in his presence, just talking to him. That was his natural way of life. The Bible says that Adam talked to God in the cool of the day. He talked to him. He walked with him. Yeah, we take those times, we do, take those times to set aside to spend just you and God. Reading the Word, talking to Him, praying, worshiping, doing whatever it is you do. But then during the day, it's those taking those moments to be with Him when we're driving down the road, when we're walking down the hall, when we're going to the bathroom, when we're walking to the shop, when we're whatever it is we're doing, when we're doing the dishes, vacuuming the floor, cutting the grass, whatever it is we're doing. Taking those times to be in His presence and listen to Him. It wasn't that Elijah was always 24 hours a day on his face before God. I don't believe that. I believe it was his natural way of being to just talk to God. Ask Him, what's up, God? What about that, God? What do I do about this, God? Talk to me, God. And they just fellowshipped and communed with one another. And I believe, you know, Watchman Nee wrote that book, the, what was it called? The Natural Christian Life? No, the, shoot, I'll think of it. Somebody in here has read that book. Anyway, just that's the way we're supposed to be. Just the way we're supposed to be. Some people might call that weird. And they probably would call that weird in today's world. But I call that power. If we want the power that God promised us, that life of living in abundance, that life of living in the blessing, we need to stay in His face. It just needs to be the way our life is, just the way we live. Back to 2 Peter 1:3, it says, "For His divine power has bestowed upon us all things." Say all things. We've done that before. All things that are requisite and suited to life in godliness. I said it only comes through that full personal relationship, that full personal knowledge of Him. And the only way we'll be able to do that is do like Elijah did and just stay in His face and stand before Him. Intimacy with God brings revelation knowledge. That's number two. And you know what? I was doing this, and I think I got to 6 or 7. I don't even know what number I got to. And I don't know how far I'm going to go with this because it just goes on and on and on and on. I don't think there's a stop to it. But I'm just going to bring out some that I was looking at. It brings revelation knowledge. Let's look at Daniel 2, 19 through 23. Daniel 2, 19 through 23. I got so excited reading this. You know, this is when King Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, and he wouldn't tell anybody what the dream is, but he wanted them to interpret his dream. And so he calls in all the, what they call the wise men, the magicians and the sorcerers and all those people, and he tells them that they need to interpret the dream, and they're like, well, just tell us what the dream is, and we'll interpret it. And he's like, I'm not telling you. You got to figure it out yourself. I am so glad that that has never happened to me. But you got to figure it out yourself. And he tells them, if you don't, I'm going to kill all the wise men, not just you guys. I don't know how many were standing before him at that moment. But it didn't matter because he was going to kill everybody. Everybody that was a person that fit in this category, including Daniel. And so they were all going to be slaughtered. So Daniel inquires of the Lord, and he has his friends pray, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah pray, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And so in verse 19 it says, "Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven." And I just wanted to read what he said because it just set my heart a-dancing. "Daniel answered, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are His. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known to me now what we desired of you. For you have made known to us the solution to the king's problem. Intimacy with God, knowing God, gives us revelation knowledge. He'll give us insight. When we spend time with him, he'll show us stuff. He shows us the hidden things. He answers questions that we don't have answers to. Daniel couldn't have done that by himself. That wasn't in his own personal power. It's not in our power. But it is in the power of God. And I'm telling you, there is no other way. There is no other way. And the thing is, the more time that you spend in his presence, the more time you want to spend in his presence. It gets to be like an addiction, but it's a good one. It's a good addiction, not a bad addiction. You know, we just want to, you start spending time in his presence, and he starts answering questions for you or revealing stuff in the scriptures, or just you just have that peace overflowing in your life. Whatever happens, it's going to be good. And so he just gives us answers to things. And so when we spend time in his presence, we just want to do it more. We want to do it more. Intimacy with God will cause you to be strong and do exploits. It will cause you to be strong and do exploits. Daniel 11:32 in the Amplified, it says, "But the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and shall stand firm and do exploits for God." The people who know their God, who know their God, will stand strong and do exploits for him. They'll step out. They'll be confident in what they're doing. They'll do exploits for him. Why? Because they know him. Because they've spent time with him. And they're not going to go half-cocked and do crazy things. They're going to do what he tells them to do. Because he's the one that's given them the marching orders for the day. He's the one that's directed their footsteps. In Daniel 31, 7 through 8, I mean Deuteronomy, I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 31, 7 through 8. I'm reading out of the Amplified again. "And Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, 'Be strong, courageous, and firm, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to possess it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will march with you.'" I want you to note that. "He will march with you. He will not fail you or let you go or forsake you. Let there be no cowardice or flinching, but fear not. Neither become broken in spirit, depressed, dismayed, and unnerved with alarm." Why? Because God will march with you. Now, I want to read another scripture to you in Exodus 33:11, because I want to reveal to you why this happened with Joshua. Why Joshua? Why did God say he'd do this for Joshua? In Exodus 33:11, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not leave the tabernacle." He didn't leave. He stayed in the presence of God. He got in that tent of meeting. The glory of God came out. Moses had to go out and do what Moses had to do. But Joshua stayed in the tent. He chose to stay in the presence of God as long as he possibly could. And as Joshua sought God, he had developed that intimate relationship with him. And when it came time for Moses to pass the rod to Joshua, He was passing it to someone who had an intimate relationship with God. And he said, don't be afraid, because why? Because God is going with you. He will be with you. God's protection, God's power, God's way. Because Joshua had been in the presence of God on a regular basis. It wasn't just a one-time event. He spent time in the tent. Intimacy of God causes us to be strong and do great exploits. Number four, intimacy with God produces peace. Y'all, in this crazy mixed up world we live in, we all need peace. We all need confidence. We all need to know that God's with us. We all need to know that His presence is going with us. In this world that we live in that's so dangerous, we need to be able to hear the voice of God. We talked about that so many times. We need to be able to know where to go, when to go, where not to go by listening to the voice of God. We need peace. I was talking last week about how we're just so bombarded with information all the time. News about this, news about that, you know. I was telling you last week that I turned off a lot of my notifications, which some of them I might need to turn back on. I have to think about that. But thank God for friends that will tell you stuff. But you know what? It's just, our minds are just bombarded with stuff. And we've got to have the peace of God. We've got to be able to walk in that peace. So intimacy with God produces peace. Let's look at Isaiah 26:3 in the Amplified. Isaiah 26:3. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. His mind is stayed on you. He's who you think about all day long. He's made the time to put you first place in his life. His mind, I lost my scripture. He stayed on you. He commits himself to you. He leans on you and hopes confidently in you. And because of those things, you keep him in perfect peace. You keep him in that peace. Look, we can have the peace of God operating in our lives no matter what situation is going on around us. But you know what we have to do? We have to make sure our mind is stayed on him. When we see things going on around us, when confusion is happening around us, when fear is rising up around us, what is our first line of defense? Go to the Word. What does God say? Well, you can't know what God says if you haven't been in His presence, if you haven't spent time in the Word. Now, y'all are all Word people in here, so you know what the Word says. But that's what we have to go. That has to be our first line of defense. What does the Word say? You know, when Peter fell off the mezzanine out there in the shop, and we went running down there to him, he was laying on the ground. It was not a pretty scene at all. My first thought was pray. Pray. So that's the very first thing I did, was lay hands on him and pray for him. Why? Because, I don't know, that was my first thought, number one. But number two, you know what? Those few seconds of speaking the Word and declaring life over him were way more important and powerful than taking those few seconds and calling 911, which, of course, we did call 911. But I believe it was the power of God and going into his body that kept him and caused that not to be a very much worse situation than it could have been. It was not good. But God, but God. But he'll keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on him. When that's where our thought life is. No matter what's going on around us, God, you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I don't care what this looks like, God. You know, I'm a tither, and your word declares, Father, that you rebuke the devourer for my sake. Father, the word says, by Jesus' stripes that I am healed, or my child is healed. I thank you, Father. Those things have to be our first line of defense that we go to. And that peace comes because we know that he is faithful to his word. Number 5, intimacy with God provides protection and security. I want to look at Psalm 91. And I don't know if I'm going to read all of this because it's just so wonderful. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. For then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge. What does that mean? Because that is where you have put yourself, in his presence. You have made him your refuge. And the Most High your dwelling place. You've made the Most High your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For he will give his angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Because he, the psalmist, the person that has written this, has set his love upon me, God, therefore, I, God, will deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name as a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. Trust and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Why? Because he dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Because he's dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. Because he has made that his place to abide in the presence of God. Those are things that God, those are the attributes of God, what he does for those who dwell in his presence. The benefits of taking the time and making God, and spending that time with him and keeping our minds stayed on him. There are no words. They're amazing. Just why? Because he loves us. He doesn't have to. He just does. He just loves you. And he's just there for us. Amen? He's a good God, and he loves you. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you are a good God, Father, and you love us. Father, you love your people. You sent your son Jesus to die for us so that we could have that intimate relationship, so that we could be called your children, so that we could boldly enter into the throne of grace. And Father, I just bless the people tonight in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you as they leave this place, Father, their determination is to know you more, to move deeper into that revelation and that knowledge of who you are for them. Father, I just thank you. I bless them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all are dismissed.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.